Thank you, Abby. That was really pretty. Well, we have a lot of nice voices in our congregation these days. It's really, should be able to put together quite a nice choir. So I'm looking forward to that. Trumpets for all of you singers that want to participate in the choir. We'll try to have a few choir practices between now and then. So join us and help entertain the church in a very, really blessed way. I remember last year for trumpets, we had that gigantic choir. I don't know how that grew to be so big last year, but it was really cool. So hopefully all of you that want to will be able to participate in that this year, and we'll even let the word get out over to Reno that if anybody wants to participate there, at least we can get the music to them and plug them in at the last minute. So, well, I hope you all had a great week. We had a really enjoyable week. Jackie and I again had to recover from a camp out. Camp High Sierra, it took us about 7 days to recover. This one only took us three. So we're not quite the campers that we used to be, but it was a lot of fun, I've got to admit that, and we really had a fantastic time. Well, going through the Bible reading program that I've been doing and many of you have been doing, I just finished the Book of Proverbs recently. I had something hit me that I thought was worthy to share with you today in the sermon. If you would all please turn with me to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. The subject that I'm going to talk about is a huge one, probably one that we'll never fully comprehend until Jesus Christ returns. And that is the subject of wisdom. I found several interesting quotes on the subject of wisdom as I was preparing for this service, and I wanted to share a couple of them with you today as you turn to 1 Kings 3. This first one is a quote that is anonymous. I'm not sure where it came from, and every time I looked it up, it says it's just an anonymous quote. It says this, "Wisdom is the quality that keeps you from getting into situations where you need it." You need to think about that one a little bit. Wisdom is the quality that keeps you from getting into situations where you need it. I'm sure many of you have heard or read what is called the Serenity Prayer. It goes like this, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the ones I can, and wisdom to know the difference." And one more quote on the subject from the Greek philosopher Sophocles. "Much wisdom often goes with fewer words." Much wisdom often goes with fewer words, which is very biblical. And we will see this to be true as we go through the sermon here today. Let's take a look at 1 Kings 3 and gain a little perspective about wisdom from Solomon as well as from God and what it can mean to a person's life. God, if you will recall, in a dream, asked Solomon, who has now been appointed the king over Israel, what he would like God to give him to serve and reign and rule as king. Let's listen to Solomon's and God's response here in 1 Kings 3, and we'll begin in verse 7. 1 Kings 3 and verse 7. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." Solomon shows humility, tremendous humility in his response to God's request of him, acknowledging his own human weaknesses, which as we're going to see is a key link to connecting with God. Verse 8, "And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." This is a pretty tremendous statement that God makes on behalf of Solomon. He's basically declaring Solomon the wisest man who has ever lived. The only exclusion would be Jesus Christ. He said, nobody before you and nobody will come after you wiser than you. Drop down to Kings 4, 1 Kings 4, only a page or so. And let's look at what this wisdom did and was like for Solomon, what it meant for him. Let's pick it up here in 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings 4, 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and of all the wisdom of Egypt. In other words, he was wiser than any man on earth. Drop down to verse 34 of 1 Kings 4. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I want you to consider this for a moment. What did God give Solomon? Wisdom and understanding. His wisdom and his understanding had spread the world with notoriety because nobody had ever seen a human being capable of doing what Solomon did with this wisdom that God had given him. Good judgments, decision making, planning, purposeful direction of life. So much so that the kings and all the nations around the earth wanted to come and just listen to him talk. They probably went to the centers that he had. He would bring people together and make judgments over them. They probably just sat in a room just like this, just wanting to listen. Not necessarily talk to him, just wanted to listen to what he had to say. Wisdom, when we have it, to the degree anywhere close to what Solomon had, is a phenomenal instrument in the life of a human being. And we're going to see it has an impact on virtually every single aspect of our lives. Wisdom had a pretty powerful impact on the life of Solomon. So what is this thing we call wisdom? How does one gain in wisdom? And is it worth any effort to gain it? Flip now over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, to be exact. Proverbs chapter 1. When you look up the word wisdom in the dictionary, you will find something along these lines. It is the accumulation of knowledge, insight, and judgment with discernment and good sense on when and how to use them. Now, that may not seem like much of an important thing for each and every one of us. I'm guessing before the end of this sermon today, your minds will be changed. At least I'm hoping they will for your sake and your benefit. Because I really truly believe since I've prepared this, probably one of the biggest things contributing to our own personal woes in this life is a lack of wisdom. Solomon knew and understood all of this, and he shared it with us here in the book of Proverbs. Elsewhere in the Bible, God tells us that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. Think about that. A proverb is something that is a discussion about how to live life, how to live life effectively, bountifully. Let's peek at a few of these on the subject of wisdom here in Proverbs 1. Let's begin in verse 1, Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. It sounds a lot like the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition, doesn't it? It does, because it's biblical. Solomon refers to wisdom 47 times in the book of Proverbs alone. He refers to it 26 more times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's drop down to verse 20. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Listen to this. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Solomon knew how absolutely important wisdom was to make strides in a life of a Christian. He said, wisdom is screaming at you to get your attention. It's that important. And Solomon is saying, you really do need to pay attention to this. You really do need to understand to have wisdom in your life means almost everything. Because it brings all of the aspects of godly behavior into focus. And it allows us to behave, making decisions to go the right way virtually every time. Hold your place in Proverbs here. And flip back over with me. Hold your place in Proverbs. Flip over with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. As we just read, as Solomon put it, wisdom is screaming at us to take her into our lives. He knew it was a crucial aspect of our being to be able to gain more of it in our lives. For the rest of the sermon, I want to discuss six spiritual requirements. Six spiritual requirements for growing in wisdom in our lives. We're going to find out that without these spiritual requirements, you will not grow in wisdom. And that would be a tragedy. Here in James 1, we see James basically referring back to 1 Kings 3, where Solomon asked God for the wisdom to manage his people. Let's pick it up in James 1, and we'll begin in verse 5. We'll see here the first of six spiritual requirements to be able to grow in wisdom, and that is faith. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we see spiritual requirement for gaining wisdom is faith. God says if you need wisdom, if you want wisdom, and I'm hoping that every single person in this room wants it, because every single person in this room needs it. I'm absolutely convinced of that. God says, call on me, ask me, and I will give it to you liberally. But key number one, we've got to actually believe God's going to respond to us. God is actually going to give us that wisdom that we're asking for. There are some other parts of this, though, that come into play here, and we're going to see that in just a little bit. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs now. Back to the book of Proverbs. This time, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Sometimes we have to be able to admit our weaknesses, as Solomon did, to obtain more wisdom in our lives. There was a story in Reader's Digest back in March of 1993 on page 128. Let me share a brief part of that with you. He wrote this. A colleague of mine at NASA was assigned to prepare a presentation on the lessons learned from our bad experience with the Hubble Space Telescope. On his chart at the briefing, lesson number one read this. In naming your mission, never use a word that rhymes with trouble. Hubble, trouble. They found out that Hubble gave them a lot of trouble, and they had a difficult time with this. Theodore Levitt, who used to be a professor at Harvard Business School, once wrote this. Experience comes from what we have done. Wisdom comes from what we have done badly. And I might add, learning from it. All of us go through experiences in life, sometimes not so good. If we go through bad experiences in our lives and don't learn anything from it, we've just missed an opportunity. Let's begin here and look in Proverbs 2 and see Solomon once again showing us the next spiritual requirement for growth in wisdom, and that next spiritual requirement is uprightness, uprightness, living in a godly way. Let's begin in Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. So if we have faith and we are walking uprightly before God, we are on our way to growing in wisdom if we seek wisdom from God Almighty. Let's now go to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. Here in Proverbs 9, we'll look at yet another spiritual requirement for growing in wisdom. This is a principle that applies to more than wisdom, as we are going to see later on. We will read here in Proverbs 9 something that was stated back in Proverbs 1, which we did not read when we were in Proverbs 1 earlier, but we will go to it in a little bit. Let's look at Proverbs 9 and begin in verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. So we see this reverence and a healthy respect for God is also a spiritual requirement for growing in wisdom. Not only is it a spiritual requirement, but God tells us that when we do have this godly fear, this reverence for God, and do grow in wisdom, God says, you know, your days are going to be multiplied. I'm going to add years to your life if you come to this point in time in your life. A similar statement to this is made in Proverbs 1. Let's go back there. Proverbs chapter 1. See this one verse that I'm referring to here. Here in Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is also used. And wisdom is mentioned, but tied to knowledge. Let's look at Proverbs 1 and only one verse here. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's really interesting to me as I read through the book of Proverbs this time how many times God refers to fools and foolishness. And you know, the more I read it, the more I understood it to mean that we suffer from this. We in God's church definitively suffer from this. We act as fools sometimes by the definition God gave us in the book of Proverbs. Just one of the things here he's talking about here. He said, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's probably people sitting here saying, yeah, I've heard this subject of wisdom before, and yeah, I know it's important, yeah. We're going to find out that actually plays a part in this whole thing too, the way that we approach how and what we're being taught. One more point to support this spiritual requirement. Let's turn back, if you hold your place in Proverbs, and let's turn back to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. Job, in all of his sufferings, never really lost sight of this important point of having reverence for God. He knew, unlike his wife, that he couldn't ever lose this respect or honor for God. And if you think about it, when individuals that we've talked about all through biblical history, you talk about Moses, you talk about Joshua, you talk about Joseph, you talk about David, you talk about Paul, all the trials, all the trauma, all the difficulties that all these individuals always went through, they never lost this one perspective of constantly staying in contact with God with reverence. Understanding, realizing that that's where the real power in their life actually comes from. When they're at their lowest moments in life, and Job's trying to get us to see this and understand this, and Job never lost this. If you look all through the book of Job, Job always maintained his reverence for God. No matter what. Look here in Job 28, and we'll see Job make a very similar comment to what we just read in Proverbs 9. Let's begin in Job 28 and verse 27. Job 28, verse 27. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. To man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Job understood two very important aspects of being a Christian, as we call them today. One, maintaining this reverence for God under all circumstances in our lives. And I know that's hard. Sometimes that's the last thing you want to do, is give God glory and give God honor when you're at the bottom of the tank. But another aspect that he brings out here is to depart from evil is understanding. What did God continuously tell ancient Israel all through the Old Testament? Stay away from evil. Don't approach it. Don't talk about it. Don't touch it. Don't inquire about it. Don't have anything to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. Because God knows what we don't understand. And I really believe this applies to us here in God's church today. We have become so accustomed to living in an evil world. We are oblivious at times at how close we get to it and how willingly we are to accept it. I think if we ever asked God, if you have the guts to do that, ask God to show you in your life, where is it that I am interacting with evil and don't even realize it? Job says, departing from evil is understanding. The two go hand in glove, the wisdom and staying away from evil. You can't have both. So we see this third spiritual requirement for growing in wisdom is having a reverence for God, which is what the word translated fear actually means. The fear of the Lord, it's the reverence for the Lord. That's what that means. Okay, let's now go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 11 this time. Proverbs chapter 11. When we first started today, we saw how Solomon responded to God when God asked him what God could give Solomon as the new king, didn't we? If you recall, Solomon's approach in answering God was one of humility. He said, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to come out. I don't know how to go in. I don't have what it takes. Acknowledging his human weakness before God really impressed God. Solomon's approach was one of humility, and this was the focus of the sermon that we gave a little bit earlier in the year. We saw how humility goes a long way when it comes into interaction with God. Here in Proverbs 11, we'll see this point being made by Solomon when it comes to the subject of wisdom. We'll also see that he ties two of the other points of wisdom together, these spiritual requirements. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright, as we just talked about, will guide them. But the perversity of an unfaithful will destroy them. Here we see humility and uprightness tied together to grow in wisdom. Flip over a couple pages to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Here in Proverbs 15, we'll see Solomon again tying two spiritual points of this growing in wisdom together again. We're just going to read one verse here in Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Fear of the Lord, as we just read, the reverence for God and humility work hand in hand. And those are steps that we need to be able to grow in wisdom. Okay, and we only have two more to go. Let's go to Proverbs 9 next. Back to Proverbs 9. And take a look at this next spiritual requirement for wisdom. And this is a tough one, especially in this day and age in the church. There was a story told about the automaker Henry Ford way back when. Henry Ford asked electrical genius Charlie Steinmetz to build the generators for his manufacturing facility. One day the generators ground to a halt and the repairman couldn't figure out how to solve the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, who then came out to the generators and tinkered with the machines for a few hours, and then got up and threw the switch. The minute he threw the switch, the generators whirred back to life, like nothing was wrong. Ford afterward got a bill for $10,000 from Steinmetz. Keep in mind, this is back in like 1905. $10,000 back in those days was a lot of money. Flabbergasted, Henry Ford, who was a very tight-fisted car maker, inquired why the bill was so high. Steinmetz's reply was, "I charged you $10 for tinkering with the generators. I charged you $9,990 where to tinker." Ford paid the bill. And I'm virtually certain he was all ears at learning where to tinker in the future. Henry Ford had a teachable spirit. That's one of the reasons he progressed the way he did. He learned all the time and never thought he knew it all. Having a teachable spirit is a spiritual requirement for growing in wisdom, as we're going to see here in Proverbs 9. We're going to begin right before where we read last in Proverbs 9. Let's read here in verse 9 of Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." One sad thing that I have witnessed over the years as a pastor and as a preacher is that some people have gotten to the point in the church of feeling like they pretty well know it all. They know and understand what they need to know and understand. Sometimes going through Sabbath services is just a formality. I and many other speakers over the years have seen it in their faces. They're just tuned out. They're not paying attention to anything. They're here, but they're not paying attention. And that's sad, because God said we need to continue to learn, especially if we want to grow in wisdom. Turn back to Proverbs 15 with me. Proverbs 15. On the heels of my last comment about being tuned out, this is a perfect scripture for that, as you will soon see. The tragedy of not being teachable, which may include a course correction from time to time, which none of us like, is that we are the ones losing out. Losing out on wisdom, and that's not a good thing. We may continue to struggle over and over again with one thing and then another in our lives, always wondering why. I absolutely believe a lack of wisdom creates many of these life-altering situations in our lives that we wonder, why is this happening to me? Let's begin in Proverbs 15 and verse 31. Proverbs 15 and verse 31. "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." I love the way the New Living Translation puts this passage forward. Let me reread it again, verse 31 and 32 from the New Living Translation. "If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding." Let's go to one last scripture on this point. Turn over a couple pages to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. God, through Solomon, has shown us today that obtaining wisdom is one of the most beneficial things we can do as a Christian. It can actually literally change our lives in a way that we have no concept and no clue as to to what magnitude it can happen. It affects every aspect of our being. It affects our families, our relationships, our jobs, our schooling, our friendships, as well as our personal well-being. Let's look at Proverbs 19 and we'll see that it even affects us later in life. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We think we may know where to go. We think we may know how to do everything. We think we may know all ins and outs of what God's way of life is all about. But God's saying, you know what? You need to let me counsel you continuously, feed you continuously, help you continuously, sometimes even correct you to get you back on course. Because my counsel, my information, my truth is going to stand through everything and anything that you can even begin to muster as a man or a woman. I and what I've put forth is the only thing that's really important. And we as Christians, we as human beings, have to subjugate ourselves to that. Constantly, not once in a while, all the time. Being honest with ourselves, showing God that we understand the weaknesses that we have, the frailties that we have, the shortcomings that we have, and acknowledge to Him we still need more of His input in our lives to be able to continue to grow and to develop so that we can live longer in our lives and happier. So we see that being teachable is a key element to the spiritual requirements for growing in wisdom. We're down to my last requirement for the day. Let's go back to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Just so that you know, I haven't presented these in any special order, nor do I consider this discussion exhaustive by any step, any means. There's plenty more to look at if you want to look at it. This passage in Proverbs 8 pretty much sums up what we've been talking about here all today, and the power and the need for wisdom. In this last spiritual requirement for growing for wisdom is diligence. Diligence. There is a story about a proud young man who came to Socrates, the Greek philosopher, asking him for wisdom and knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher, and I don't know if you've ever seen statues of Socrates. I don't know if this guy must have studied in a weight room or something like this. The guy's muscular, really big. But he walks up to this muscular philosopher and says, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for wisdom and knowledge," kissing up to Socrates. Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one. He then led the young man through the streets, down to the sea, and waded out into chest-deep water in the ocean. Then he asked the young man, "What is it that you want?" The young man said, "Wisdom and knowledge, O wise Socrates," as he smiled at him. So Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulders and pushed him under the water. And he held him there for 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, he brought him back up out of the water. He said, "What is it that you want?" And the young man once again sputtered, "Wisdom and knowledge, O great and wise Socrates." Socrates crunched him under the water again. 30 seconds passed, 35. After 40 seconds, Socrates let him back up out of the water. The young man was gasping. Socrates said again, "Young man, what is it that you want?" Between heavy and heaving breaths, the fellow just wheezed and said, "Wisdom and knowledge, O wonderful and wise Socrates." Before he could finish speaking, Socrates jammed him under the water again. 40 seconds went by, then 50 seconds went by, and the guy started to shudder and shake. Socrates brought him back up out of the water. He says, "What is it that you want?" Screaming and yelling, the young man said, "Air! I need air! I need air!" Socrates responded, "When you want wisdom and knowledge, as you have just wanted air, then you will have the means to achieve it." We have to want it so bad that we will be diligent to do anything necessary in our lives to be able to obtain it and achieve it. We can look here at Proverbs 8 and see Solomon's perspective on this as well. Let's begin in Proverbs 8 and verse 12. We will see that wisdom is speaking to us here. Proverbs 8, 12. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudence, those with good judgment, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Which means we're not going to have wisdom if any of this is involved in our lives. Keep in mind, this is wisdom speaking to us. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Our diligence and how we pursue wisdom is going to ultimately be the key to our success. Let's go back a few pages to Proverbs 2 once again. We have to want wisdom, brethren, the same way that proud young man finally wanted air when he was talking to Socrates. Here in Proverbs 2, we once again see Solomon summarizing, if you will, the full power of wisdom in our lives. Let's begin in Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as of silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path of life. God's trying to tell us that if we can grow in wisdom that comes from him, our lives will change. And they will change for the better. Before we end today, I want to share something with you on the subject that sometimes we forget. I have a book in my library at home. It's entitled, What They Don't Teach You at Harvard Business School. It's a very interesting book about having street smarts. Common wisdom. Similarly, a gentleman named Robert Fulghum wrote an editorial in the Kansas City Times a few years back. This pretty much summarizes what Robert Fulghum wrote. Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at the nursery school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Another writer named Hugh Duncan wrote this about this editorial. This writer has captured part of what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "Unless you become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of God." And that, my friends, is wisdom. Wisdom that can change our lives. And now you have 6 spiritual requirements that you can use to grow in wisdom for your own personal benefit. Have a great Sabbath.